Will House please come to order? Please indicate their presence by voting. Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
37 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representatives Szymanski and Linda are excusing the call of the House today. However, I note their presence on the House floor.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Richard Hom, Northern Lights United Church.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose sovereignty is evident to us in all phases of our lives, we ask that you may help the governor, the legislature, and the government workers of this state to govern within your will. You have given these men and women a tremendous amount of power and responsibility. We ask that they may govern with wisdom, compassion, and conviction. If they stray from your guidance, we are confident that your will forgive them and cleanse them from their wrong. We need only to ask for your grace to touch us. We acknowledge that Jesus is truly our Savior and Lord, and in him all power and love lies. Every day that this body meets, may it continually commit itself to your Lordship. May these members of the House of Representatives pray and read your word daily for strength and guidance. May their actions give you honor and glory. Grant us now clear minds, loving hearts, and unceasing faith for this day's work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 96th, 97th, and 98th legislative days?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 96th, 97th, and 98th days.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 96th, 97th, and 98th days be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Ward?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. It gives me a great deal of honor to introduce a friend of mine, also a former member of this body, also a former Speaker of the House, a dedicated servant to community activities within the Anchorage and statewide basis. I'd like to introduce in Gallery B, Bruce Kendall.
Thank you, Bruce. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some friends and constituent from Port Lyons, two students from the high school there and their teacher. I'd like to have the body welcome them. They're in a gallery A. I have John Pesterkoff, Travis Nelson, and the teacher Stan Thompson.
Representative Bird.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, it's been some time, and I'd like to introduce my wife, Dinah, and her mother, who is visiting from Texas, Miss Ann Boyd.
Further guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
Dear Mr. I have a message from the governor on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 162, Finance Amended House. It's a bill that he signed with vetoes and a reduction, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk, and it will appear in the journal. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate approved the following citation, honoring Alex Rader. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2 Resources, effective date added by the Resources Committee. An act providing for a license exemption for certain commercial fishing vessels and providing for an effective date.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2 Resources, effective date added, is referred to the Resources Committee.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 101, Resources, by the Resources Committee. An act relating to the issuance of citations for fish and game violations.
The Resources Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 101 is referred to the Resources and Judiciary Committees. Will the House please stand at ease? For the at ease, we were to messages from the Senate.
Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Rules, by the Rules Committee, relating to the proposal by Congress of an Equal Rights Amendment.
Judiciary Committee.
I have no further messages from the governor, from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
There's a letter from the Robert D. Heath, Commissioner of Revenue. It has come to our attention that our letter to you dated April 1, 1983, regarding the average wholesale price of canned salmon is inaccurate due to two changes in the reporting form which resulted in some processors inadvertently reporting information incorrectly. This report will be on file in the clerk's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 17 relating to the State Medal for Heroism under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 17 Hess, and it recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Furness, Larson, Vasca, Schultz, M.M. Miller, and Cowdery. House Concurrent Resolution Number 17 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 7 relating to motor vehicles under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 7, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Furness, Chairman, concurred in by Furness, Kopanen, Cowdery, and Euling, having no recommendation, Ringsted and Malone. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 7 has a further referral to State Affairs. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 282, Notices for Occupational Safety and Health Violations, under consideration, and reports it back with individual recommendations and a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Furness, Chairman, signing due pass, Ringsted, Cowdery, and Furness, having no recommendation, Euling, Malone, and Kopanen. House Bill 282 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Transportation has had House Bill 303, making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the reconstruction and paving of Pittman Road in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by M.W. Miller, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Abood, Herman, Locker, Phillips, and M.W. Miller. McBride has no recommendation. House Bill 303 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Transportation has had House Bill 313, extending the termination date of the Alaska Transportation Commission under consideration, and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by M.W. Miller, Vice Chairman, signing Dupass, Abood, McBride, and M.W. Miller. Signing no recommendation, Davis, Phillips, and Zemanski. Signing do not pass, Locker. House Bill 313 has a further referral to Labor and Commerce. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 352, Definition of Death, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 352 Hess with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairman, Tischer and Fritz. Concurring, Tischer, Fritz, M.W. Miller, Davis, Herman, Kopanen, and Gall. House Bill 352 has a further referral to Judiciary. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have a citation honoring Donnell Ronceville by Representative Zaroff.
Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that this be brought forth as a special order of business at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is before us as a special order of business. The clerk, please reread the citation.
Citation honoring Donnell Ronceville by Representative Zaroff.
Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be adopted at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved.
Citation in memoriam Rita Stoinich by Representative Duncan. Citation honoring Linda Howard by Representative Grusendorf. Citation honoring John Clough by Representative Duncan. Citation honoring Tracy Moody by Representative Larson. House Concurrent Resolution Number 33 by the Rules Committee by request of the Special Committee on Legislative Reform, proposing the addition of a preamble relating to ethics to the uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature.
House Concurrent Resolution 33 is referred to the Judiciary Committee.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 34 by the Rules Committee by request of the Special Committee on Legislative Reform, proposing certain amendments to the uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature.
Judiciary Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 374 by Schultz, an act relating to the establishment of maximum security prison facilities at Anderson and Palmer Sutton.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 374 is referred to the State Affairs and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the day's calendar?
House Bill Number 312 by Adams, an act relating to harming a police dog. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 312 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 312 Judiciary with a new title, and recommends it do pass and attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, signing Dupass, Barnes, Liska, and Bussell, having no recommendation, Malone and Clarkson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to rise to a point of order at this time. This bill is not legally before the body. Rule 23 has two requirements. One, that a five-day notice be given as to a hearing taken up on a bill, and a second requirement that notice be given on the Thursday prior for any hearing on legislation, Mr. Speaker. If you look at the schedule for last week, you will find there is no entry for this bill in the Judiciary Committee. This is the committee meeting schedule for April 17 through 23. So the bill was not on the schedule as required by the rule. On April 18th, there was a motion to waive Rule 23, which was approved. I have an opinion from Mr. Barrier of the Legislative Affairs Agency, which states that the second provision, the provision authorizing or requiring notice the Thursday prior so that it can be published for public view, is not waivable, Mr. Speaker, and I quote from a memorandum of March 8th, the first requirement is the written notice provided to the clerk or secretary by the Thursday preceding the meeting of the time, place, and subject matter of all committee meetings during the succeeding week. This applies to all committee meetings, and there is no provision for waiver of the requirement. Mr. Speaker, since that requirement has not been met, and the waiver that was submitted was not appropriate to waive that provision of Rule 23, there has been inadequate public notice of this bill, Mr. Speaker, and it's improperly before us.
Representative Bushell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have that calendar up here, but it's my recollection. If we could go through a knees, I'd go down and get it, but it's my bill status shows that bill being introduced on the 4-4, or the 4th of the month, and I believe we asked that that be waived on a Monday to be heard on Wednesday, and we did add it to the published calendar. We didn't hear it the same day we waived it, if I remember right. And the publication did go up on the door to the judiciary room. It did get added to the calendar, and it didn't get completed that day. In fact, it was a continued matter. I can go down and get that to verify those dates. I can't challenge those dates from memory.
Unless there was objection, maybe we could move this down to the end of the calendar, and then that'll give everyone adequate time to check it out, and we can deal with it at the end of today's calendar, if you don't object, Representative Clarkson.
I don't, if we can have a short at ease, so I can provide you the...
Okay, well, thank you. Will the House please stand at ease? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 312 be moved to the bottom of today's calendar.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill Number 319 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Municipal Bond Bank Authority and providing for an effective date. Excuse me. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 319 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 319, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, and recommends that it do pass. And the report was signed by Mr. Furness, Chairman, signing do pass, Furness, Ringsted, Cowdery, Euling, and Kopanen. Malone has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute Labor and Commerce for House Bill 319 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute Labor and Commerce for House Bill 319 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 319, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Municipal Bond Bank Authority and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 319 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
The Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 319 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of Committee Substitute Labor and Commerce for House Bill 319 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 5 by Szymanski, Barnes, Grusendorf, Davis, Liska, Tischer, and Bussell, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to annulment of regulations by the legislature. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker.
House Joint Resolution Number 5 is before us in third reading. Is there debate? Representative Clarkson.
This is the one you'll recall, Mr. Speaker, where I was so convincing that you had to refer it back to the Rules Committee, and I appreciate that. Just a final comment on this legislation. You have had circulated by the member from Eagle River an example of a regulation that shows the abuse by the administrative agency of their rulemaking power. And I think that focuses, Mr. Speaker, what existing remedies this legislature has for the type of abuse that this and other examples, that we've seen other examples of. The abuse, Mr. Speaker, is administrative agencies which are going beyond or inconsistent with the direction by this legislature. There are two ways under the existing law, Mr. Speaker, three ways. This legislature has the authority to deal with that problem right now. The first of those is to write legislation that is sufficiently tight and without possible misconception or misconstrual, so that there is no way that the regulations can possibly, that the freedom can be given to draft regulations which are inconsistent with the intent. That's the first thing this body can do, is write better legislation. The second thing, of course, we have already done. We have provided to the courts the authority to strike down regulations which are inconsistent with the statutory limitations. And I think that relates to the example here by the member from Eagle River. If a regulation is inconsistent with a statute, it should be struck down by the court. And I think that's how the separation of powers and the balancing of powers ought to work in government. The third point, and the main one I wanted to make today, is that, Mr. Speaker, we delegate to administrative agencies the authority to draft administrative regulations. It is hardly our place to criticize a power that we have given them. As the Supreme Court in the famous Alive case observed, we have the power, should we wish, to simply remove from administrative agencies the power to adopt regulations. If that's the abuse that people believe is going on in the state of Alaska, that is, the adopting of regulations rather than just carrying out the statute, then eliminate that right. But if you're going to delegate the authority to exercise discretion, if you're going to delegate that authority to administrative agencies, you have to give them reasonable limits in order to carry out those responsibilities. I think, Mr. Speaker, that we have adequate remedies now for the abuse we're seeing of administrative regulations. Once again, the people have voted against this before. It seems to me we're wasting the body's time and the people's time to present it to them again. They made their position very clear on it, and with the remedies that we have available, I don't think it's necessary.
Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe that this resolution is an example of a better written resolution. You notice that it takes the approval of each house. Now, before, we used to just require the approval of one house. And our Supreme Court said that when we just required the approval of one house, that we were in violation of the separation of powers. So now we put in each house. So I look at this as better legislation. Now, I've litigated regulations in court. I've litigated the ATC's interpretation of their regulations, sometimes successfully, usually unsuccessfully, because the court gives great discretion to the administrative agency in interpreting its own regulation. They give such great discretion to the administrative agency that the court doesn't want to disturb the interpretation of the administrative agency, which as a practical matter may be in conflict with the statute. So I speak in support of the resolution for the very reasons that the attorney from Anchorage identified.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the prior speaker, I believe, is in error. Previously, the suspension of a resolution could not be accomplished by one house. In fact, it had to be concurred in through a concurrent resolution, which requires a vote of each house. So that situation, I think, is an inadvertent error. Mr. Speaker, I, too, oppose this sort of legislation for the simple reason we haven't tried yet what's available to us. If we had tried what the courts have laid out and said we could do, and that is annul regulations by passing a statute, by passing a law, that instead of a mere concurrent resolution, if we had tried that and for some reason or other it didn't work, I think maybe we should probably be justified in looking around for another alternative. But the fact situation is, Mr. Speaker, we haven't tried it. The court didn't say we couldn't annul regulations. What the court says, we can't do it by a concurrent resolution. And so, but we do have available for us. It takes the same 21 votes in each house. If somebody's unhappy about a current resolution, and for instance, the one before us, why doesn't the member introduce a bill which would indeed annul the regulation that that this memo complains of. It hasn't been tried. And that, you know, the same 21 votes that would be necessary for a concurrent resolution would be available to annul in each house with a simple bill. Now, somebody might say, well, yes, but the governor can veto that legislation. And that's true. If it's a bill, the governor can veto it. But we have no indication that any governor, prior or this one, intends to veto those types of bills. It would be a very serious situation indeed if the governor did veto it. And if he did veto it and it was that serious, it probably would be worth our giving it a second look. And if we're still convinced, overriding the veto. But I don't think we've anyways near explored the opportunities that are available for us, Mr. Speaker, and until we have explored them, I don't see the need for it. Incidentally, also, perhaps I've just overlooked it, but I looked at least hurriedly through AS 3435-175, and the situation that's complained of in this memorandum, I don't find to exist. I don't see that the that 3435-175 has any limit, 1 year, 90 day, or otherwise. Although, as I say, I looked very hurriedly, and I looked through the supplements very hurriedly, and I may have just missed it. But I think the memorandum may be in error as well.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the minority leader is absolutely right. It does, in fact, take a piece of legislation, and I find that totally reprehensible. The reason being, Mr. Speaker, that when we make law, we expect the administration to carry out the law, and we shouldn't have to make further law to overturn regulations that are not consistent with the statutes. Mr. Speaker, it takes it a little bit beyond the arena of 21 votes. We all know that when a governor vetoes, and certainly when his agencies, those that are directly under him, are promulgating regulations, surely it is with his concurrence, so it would hardly, it seems to me, befitting that he not veto a bill, that one of his agencies had caused the bill to be passed far to begin with, and it takes a greater number of votes to override a veto than it does a simple 21 votes to pass a resolution.
Representative Grischendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been several occasions over the past years of which the legislative body and the public have been frustrated by regulations that have been passed that have gone counter to the intent of the legislation that we have passed. I think, Mr. Speaker, we all understand here that the legislative body's major function here is to make laws, and the governor's constitutional function is to enforce and execute those laws, not to remake the laws, remold them, or amend those laws to the point where it was not at all our intent. I think what this particular resolution does, Mr. Speaker, is allow we as legislators who work with our public in the way in which we want those laws interpreted to be carried out. Our mistake last time, when this was on the ballot, was that we did not educate the public as what we were trying to do, and the administration came up with a simple rationale that was accepted, that it was a violation of the separation of powers. It is not a violation of separation of powers, and I think there will be occasions where we'll find it's very useful to stop departments and agencies from remaking and gutting our intent in this legislative body. So we have a tool, and I think it's an excellent one. Recommend we pass this.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to respond to Minority Leader in reference to Alaska Statute 3435.175. I think if the representative would read that statute, he will see where that particular statute, what it entails from this particular issue which I'm bringing before the body, which was a fish and game regulation, Alaska Administrative Code 81.200. Now, I've been asked by several of my constituents in this particular subject in a taxidermy business. to see if they could possibly get relief from holding finished trophies for 1 year instead of the 90 days which the statute calls for. Now, this is truly an indication of this particular fish and game regulation, which I had requested from the Commissioner of Fish and Game to put it on a staff proposal for the regulation which took place in Anchorage this past March to correct this particular deficiency. And it was put in, proposed by staff at my request. So the chairman of the Fish and Game Board, Mr. John Shively, just very politely told me that the board just didn't buy it. They didn't make a difference to them whether it was in violation of statutes or not. That particular statute calls for 90 days. Otherwise, if you took a watch in to have it repaired, or a bicycle, or a mowing machine, or anything, that particular merchant is only required to keep that material 90 days. If you don't come in and pick it up, it's just too bad. You've lost it. But here's a case here where a businessman has got a lot of money tied up, for example, in trophies in a taxidermy business with this particular 81.200 under the last administrative code, purchase and sale. They're required to hold this particular item for 1 year in a complete violation of 3435.175. So, in response to the testimony I've been giving here this morning, as a member of the Reg Review Committee, I'm finding all kinds of these where the perhaps maybe the answer would be to submit legislation. But like the majority leader said, it takes 27 votes to overrule governor's veto. Back in 1980, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Pryor, had put it on Proposition 1 for the ballot to try to overrule it, to give the Reg Review Committee the authority to overrule these regulations. So I say that any time that we have the executive branch, we've got the judicial branch and legislative branch, we here in this body, we make these laws. And when we get an executive branch with the Commissioner of Game or Transportation, what have you, come by and completely violate the intent of this legislation, then I fully support this HJR 5 legislation before us, at least as a starter. Thank you, sir.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a point of information, either of the last speaker or the chairman of Regulation Review Committee. What we have here is clearly a serious and important problem that needs resolution. It seems that the discussion on the floor as to what the best is related to what is the best method for resolving this kind of a problem. Possibly someone could advise me a little bit on what steps have been taken thus far. To use this particular example as an example, review or rather resolve the conflict between the law and the regulation. In other words, has the committee made any efforts with the administration or the agency involved to get a resolution of this particular case? And what I'm trying to determine is whether or not such efforts have been met without response. In other words, is the administration unwilling to look into these matters, and is that what is bringing this issue to a head? Any comments to help me understand the status of resolving these disputes would certainly help me. I'd appreciate it.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to respond to the minority leader and the previous speaker and representative of downtown Anchorage and thank him, first of all, for what appears to be a lot of support for House Bill 223, which is a legislative attempt to overturn a regulation improperly made by administrative organization. And if the representative from Haines would like to come down and see what kind of response you get when you try to do that, to briefly describe that, it's a regulation which outlaws the use of the flexible work week in the state of Alaska. It makes Alaska the only state in the 50 states that that's taken place. It's completely contrary to legislative intent for the statute that covers that. And to answer his question as to what the administration does when you question that, they tell you that they've destroyed all the records under the five-year rule. So they don't have any records that go back to 1979. And although I explained to him that I was pretty good at arithmetic, I wasn't a straight A, but as I count back, it's not 5 years from now to 1979, but still there seems to be a conspicuous absence of records and no one seems to want to help at all. That's the way the administration answers that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Not to prolong this, Mr. Speaker, just with regard to that last one, the last comment, I think that's a good example where there is, in fact, no legislative statement of intent. There is no legislative statement of intent, and you have to keep in mind that you may be mad with a regulation that does something you didn't think it ought to do, but you got to keep in mind that you have, in order to justify what we're doing here, you have to see a legislative enactment that's inconsistent with a regulation. There is no such legislative enactment in the case just referred to by the judiciary chairman, and more importantly, if there is a legislative enactment, then the administrative regulation is illegal, and it's subject to a challenge in court.
Representative Bustle?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief response. The legislative intent in the Wage Hour Statute is the adoption of the federal standards. It's a clear legislative intent. It embodies much law. And it clearly was set there. In fact, we've even managed to dig up a couple of Attorney General's opinions in more than one instance where that has been accepted and stated.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think it's a little off the subject what we're talking about now, the wage and hour law, but I would rise only to concur with the representative from downtown Anchorage over there that the regulation that the Judiciary Chairman is referring to is not in conflict with any statute that the state of Alaska presently has, and in fact, I think in some ways it's reflected by some of our statutes more recently adopted.
I would agree that wage and hour law is getting off the debate as far as the resolution before us is concerned. It was used as an example, and I think beyond that we are straying afar. I would caution the body that I, much as I don't want to, I'm going to rule further debate on that matter out of order. Representative Gall?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I don't wish to interfere with that aspect of the debate or get between the last few speakers. And frankly, I don't mean my question to be really part of debate at all. I'm just trying to clarify the status of the situation, and I think the example that was raised here in this memorandum by the representative from Eagle River is possibly a good case in point in that it brings forth a clear contradiction between the status of the statutes and a particular regulation, and it would seem to me that it would be on matters where there's clearly a conflict, where it's not a subject of debate or speculation, that I would hope that these kinds of things would be fairly easy to resolve by bringing them to the attention of the administration. And what I was trying to determine was whether or not any effort on this particular example had been made, and if so, if this was a response to a negative reaction from the administration.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like this time, if I may, read a section of this 34.35.175. But this is our statute which we go by. Improvement lien on personal property. A person who makes, alters, repairs, or labors upon an article of personal property at the request of the owner or lawful possessor has a lien on a property for his just and reasonable charges for the labor performed and materials furnished. The person may keep possession of the article until the charges are paid. B. If the charges are not paid within 3 months after labor or materials or both are performed or furnished, the person having the lien may sell the article at public auction and apply the proceeds of the sale. First, to the payment of the expenses of sale. Second, to the discharge of lien. And third, the balance to the owner of the article. C. The sale shall be held in a recording district where the article is left to be altered or repaired. D. Before the sale is made, notice of the sale shall be given to the debtor by registered letter directed to him at his last known place of residence, if his residence is known, and also by posting notice of the sale in three public places in a recording district, one of which shall be at or near the front door of the post office nearest the place of sale for 10 days before the date of sale. The notice shall contain a particular description of the article to be sold, the name of the owner or reputed owner, the amount due on the lien in the time and place of said sale. Now, here we have 90 days versus 1 year. So I contend to this body that if a person has an item of taxidermy, it's an item for sale, and why should they be treated different than anybody else? 1 year, to me, sounds not inconsistent with the statute. So I urge the body to vote in favor of this resolution.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution Number 5 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
31 yeas, 7 nays.
House Joint Resolution 5 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 165 by Euling, Barnes, Bussell, Cowdery, Furness, Ward, and Herman. The Committee on State Affairs has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 165 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165, State Affairs, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurred in by Furness, Larson, and Cowdery. M.M. Miller signed do pass if amended. The Committee on Judiciary has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 165 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute by the State Affairs Committee, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Liska, Bussell, and Hayes. Wente has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute State Affairs for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the State Affairs Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the sponsor substitute for House Bill 165, Representative Miller. House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we return to introduction of guests for a moment, please?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me a great pleasure to introduce a visitor to Juneau from Denver, Colorado, in Gallery A, Mrs. Jackie Antone. Jackie.
We have before us State Affairs Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165 in second reading. There are two amendments on the clerk's desk. Will the clerk please read the first amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. Martin. Page 1, lines 15 through 16, and page 1, line 25. Delete principal occupation, comma, and employer of the contributor.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the amendment's adopted. Clerk, please read the second amendment.
Amendment number 2 by M.M. Miller. Page 1, line 14 and line 24, change $250 to $100. Page 2, line 6, change $250 to $100. Page 4, line 16, change $250 to $100.
Proper time to object is when the sponsor of the amendment moves the amendment. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, there's not many times that I feel intimidated on this floor, but I think I feel a little bit intimidated. Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 2.
There is objection. Representative Miller.
Well, Mr. Speaker, what this amendment does, of course, is keeps the threshold of reporting at the same $100 figure that we have on the laws right now. And, Mr. Speaker, I guess part of the justification for the amendment or the justification for the raise, either one, depends on what your estimation of the value of $100 is. I happen to think that it's important for the public to be able to know who gives a candidate more than $100. The way the bill is written right now, it says that it's not important for the public to know how much money is given in a campaign contribution unless that campaign contribution is $250 or more. So I guess it just depends, Mr. Speaker, where you draw the threshold, where you say that it's important for the public's right to know. The people who are in favor of this higher threshold say that it'll cut down on our bookkeeping, which isn't quite true, because you still have to keep track of all of the contributions you receive, no matter how small. If the contribution is only $1, you still have to keep track of it. But it's true, you don't have to report it on separate lines, separate entries. You can just congregate all of the contributions, currently less than $100, under the new amount designation, less than $250, in one line. And Mr. Speaker, I think the public's right to know is a lot more important than our right to a speedy report. Like in my case, the new law would probably reduce the accounting time that I would have to worry about in the nature of maybe 20 minutes. I think it's more important for the public to know who contributed to my campaigns in the amount of $100 or more than it is to save me 20 minutes every time we turn in a list. Of course, if you're running statewide, the time factor is probably more than 20 minutes. It might be 20 hours, but I think, Mr. Speaker, the importance of the public's right to know is even more important than 20 hours of statewide campaign politicians' time. Mr. Speaker, I just really think, you know, I know that in lots of ways people would like to see this whole APOC thing go away. And as a matter of fact, on two or three occasions in local communities, it's been proposed that the APOC would go away, because there is an option for people to opt out. But the people of the state of Alaska, in almost every occasion on those local votes, has said, no, we don't want it to go away. We want to know. We want to know who gives contributions. And Mr. Speaker, I think they want to know who gives contributions in excess of $100, not merely $250. So in spite of a little bit of extra bookkeeping on our part, I would strongly urge the adoption of the amendment.
Representative Ewing.
Mr. Speaker, the Alaska Public Offices Commission is a bureaucratic nightmare. And I think that basically the testimony that came before us, at least that I noticed in State Affairs, indicated that we should raise that threshold from $100 to $250 level. Originally, when APOC was created in 1974 by Senate Bill 388, the dollars and inflation that have occurred since that time indicate that we need to raise that threshold. Everybody that has to have a contribution that's given to a campaign over $100 essentially has to be listed on a line-by-line report form. Just in the governor's campaign, this requires literally 20 and 30 pages of line-by-line additions. So basically, with the fact that inflation has gone up significantly since 1974, $250 is not an unreasonable figure. And it's not a matter of the public not knowing those kind of things. It's a matter of inflation, a matter of looking at it and being realistic now in 1983. And basically, that $250 has been increased. It's a good move. The APOC has been monitoring this. They've been working with us. They support it. And I think it's a good idea to move it up to that $250 level.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the State Affairs Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
13 yeas, 26 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Does the clerk have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute State Affairs for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Representative Clarkson?
On page 5, line 21, we have several repealers. I guess this question would be to the prime sponsor. The repealer in 1513-040C repeals the provision which says that a group's treasurer shall certify the report as correct. Does the repealer mean that we are eliminating the requirement of certification of the report entirely, or is it placed back in somewhere else? I wonder if we could get that explained.
Representative Ewing?
Yes, it's. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's placed back in into the bill in another area.
Representative Clarkson?
Where?
Representative Ewing? Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, the reason I'm concerned, there are actually two requirements there. One is that it be filed by the group's treasurer, and I know you've reworded that, so it isn't always the treasurer. I just want to make sure that we didn't accidentally drop the certification requirement, because that's, I think, real important in the enforcement of the law.
Yes, it should be on...
Representative Ewing?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It should be on page 2, section 15-1360. The candidate, the campaign chairman, or the campaign treasurer of candidate, and the campaign chairman or campaign treasurer of a group may certify. So it's listed there on page 2, if that answers your question.
Representative Clarkson?
Just to pin it down, Mr. Speaker, does that mean that there is a mandatory certification requirement still in the APOC law if this bill is adopted, or does it become optional? I never know what may means, whether it's mandatory in this case. I don't believe, from what your explanation is, the intent is to eliminate the mandatory certification requirement, but I'd sort of like to have that some reassurance on that.
Representative Ewing?
Page 4, line 25, it says it shall be certified, so if you'll go back and check that. It is, Mr. Speaker?
Representative Ewing?
It essentially says that there are three people in the case of an individual who wants to run for office: the candidate, the treasurer, and also the chairman. They are the people that will certify. In the case of deputy treasurers, they have to be listed with the Alaska Public Offices Commission, but they cannot certify. It cleans up past statute and makes it very clear who can certify. In the case of groups, the campaign chairman and the campaign treasurer are the people who can certify, and only those people.
Is the objection maintained to the motion to advance the bill from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Clerk, please read the bill for the third time.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165, State Affairs, amended by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the Public Offices Commission and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the State Affairs Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165, amended House, pass the House, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
29 yeas, 10 nays.
The State Affairs Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of Committee Substitute State Affairs for sponsor substitute for House Bill 165 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar, Representative Clarkson?
Just a parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker. I know that occasionally when we're taking a roll call vote, there is discussion among members of the body, and I didn't want to raise any point of order or anything, but I believe, this is an inquiry to you, Mr. Speaker, I believe the rules require that there be no communication between or among members during a vote. I would just like to encourage the Speaker to encourage his members not to do that, because obviously that's a place for real inappropriate undue pressure on someone when they're voting. That's a pretty precious procedure, and I'd like to see that kept.
Thank you, clean. Representative Clarkson. That's a very good point. I have noticed unnecessary and undue conversation between members on the floor, not only at times prior to voting, but at other times, which doesn't necessarily disturb me, but it certainly has an effect on people in the immediate vicinity, and I will be watching that more closely. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, in order to give the members tomorrow an opportunity to at least lower the threshold level a little bit, if not to $100, I'll give notice of consideration, a reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 165.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Miller on his vote on House Bill 165. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Raymond Chmielewski by Representative Schultz and Malone.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation honoring John Manley by Representatives Pestinger and Abood, Senators Kelly and Rohde.
Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask for a moment of silence before I move the citation as we remember John Manley and Alaska Railroad Man. I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Mara Rabinowitz by Senators Bennett, Fahrenkamp, Vic Fisher, Sturgiluski, Kurtula, Ray, and Rohde, and Representative Davis.
Representative Kovanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be added as a sponsor.
Without objection, Representative Kovanen will be added as a sponsor to the citation. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to be a co-sponsor on the citation.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be added also.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, since the young lady beat me in the marathon, I'd like to be a co-sponsor of the race, too.
Without objection, so ordered. Also, Representative Clarkson would like to be added as a co-sponsor. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be reflected as a co-sponsor on the citation for John Manley, please.
Without objection, so ordered. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 312 by Adams, an act relating to harming a police dog.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 312 be returned to its first committee of referral.
First committee of referral.
Judiciary.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on HGR number 5.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Davis for his vote on HGR 5. Other unfinished business? Announcements? Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring the attention of the body that the blackout has been lifted on the television coverage for the House. I note that KTUU Channel 2 television station in Anchorage private